Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Senate President Stan Rosenberg is with us in the studio. The Amherst Democrat joined us back in January when he became the new head of the Massachusetts Senate. Since then, 2015 is shaping up to be an interesting year. The state faces a $1.8 billion budget gap for next fiscal year on top of a current $768 million gap this year.
Not to mention the problems on the MBTA and commuter rail this winter and questions around the bid to host the Olympics here in 2024.
So there's a lot to talk about. Senator Rosenberg, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So first of all, let's just start, dive right in with the latest on the MBTA, because there were the second day of hearings at the State House today on the T and the commuter rail. And we heard today that Gerald Francis, general manager of Keolis that runs the commuter rail, apologizing for the problems the commuter rail faced. And also said that part of the problem was that the company inherited an aging train fleet. So we've heard that before. I'm just wondering, you know, in the past 2 days of hearings, if there's any new thoughts that you have about where the T finds itself.
A lot of work to be done. The committee that's been put together by the governor is going to be submitting its draft report any day now for him to take a look at and eventually to be shared with the legislature and the public. And we would expect to see some good comparisons of how our system stacks up in terms of funding, policies, programs, age of infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to identify where we need to tighten things up, what we can do to improve. But when the whole reform effort is completed, as happened the last couple of times when we did reform efforts,
right,
and we did every reform that was recommended, and they almost all worked, there was still inadequate revenue to support the system.
Okay.
Ultimately, we've got to get down to figuring out how we're going to pay for the world-class system that the people want.
Dollars and cents, and we will talk about that in just a second. But, you know, you're speaking of reform. We also, this week, the Boston Globe was reporting on the fact that there was, basically a peer review that the T did of other systems, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia. And we discover that the MBTA didn't have, you know, modern-day non-corrosive de-icers, or that the T didn't have dedicated snow-clearing equipment for the rail line so that they could clear ice off the third rail for the subway systems. I mean,
so the question is, why didn't they have that
equipment? Something's
got
to be fundamentally broken here, regardless of money.
Well, that's part of what we're talking about, is that the reform comes before revenue. But when you finish the reforms, the gap is still going to be larger than can be filled by just the reforms. Mm. So this is the problem. Our system continues to expand without adequate revenue to support the expansion. We're adding new stations and modernizing stations when we don't have the basic equipment. So yeah, there's some pretty bad decision making going on. But then there's also the question of, are we expanding beyond our capacity to support the system?
Okay, so the T has said, and I believe it was just earlier this month, that just to cover maintenance and repair, it would need, what, $6.7 billion. But on the other hand, Governor Baker and House Speaker Robert DeLeo are both on the record saying they are not going to raise taxes. So if indeed once the reform conversation happens or it is completed and we get to the revenue conversation, what kind of conversation is there to be had?
Bake sales? I don't know how you run a transit system without adequate revenue, and so we're going to have to come back and have that conversation.
Do you see, I mean, for the governor and the House Speaker to just dig their heels in and say, no raising taxes, I mean, is there room for a how would you sell them on the idea,
I can't speak for the governor or the speaker, but the public is going to demand that we not repeat what we had before this past winter. And so at some point, the revenue conversation is going to have to take place. And by the way, that also means fares. It doesn't just mean taxes, and it doesn't just mean borrowing to buy the equipment and to do that. We have to have a proper balance of revenue for the system. And I'm told that we are dramatically less expensive on a per rider basis or a per mile basis or whatever the measure is that they use than comparable systems. And yet we have the oldest system in the country, which means you're going to have even higher costs to maintain the system because you get so much aging infrastructure.
Right. So lots more to talk to you about on other issues, and I want to. But one last question here about the T. We talked revenue. We talked possible reform. I'm wondering if it's time for like a really big rethink, a big, huge change. Maybe, I mean, the Pioneer Institute has suggested that the T be taken into state receivership.
I don't know how that solves the problem.
Okay. Period.
Period.
Okay. I love how pithy you can be when you want to. So let's move on to the Olympics. Do you have a pithy answer for this? Do you think it's a good idea for Boston to become the host city of the 2024 Olympic Games?
If we can do it without any public subsidy, it would be spectacular. And we need proof that it's going to be able to be done without public subsidy.
Okay, so the proof might be offered, but then again, there's always the reality that cost overruns usually come with major projects like this. Would the legislature possibly, let's say, a bill? Would the Senate be willing to come up with a bill that would just flat out create a law that says the state will not pay for cost overruns?
The proponents of the games here in Boston say that in recent times the games in the U.S. generate a profit, that there is a model that will generate a profit. And we've asked them to show us the data and show us how that's possible. But we've also asked them to demonstrate that there will be no public subsidy required. And there is, as you know, discussion about a referendum. And there's also the possibility that we could do legislation because folks have discussed the possibility of doing legislation.
Would you be in support of such legislation?
I want to make sure we don't chill the possibility of getting it if it can happen without a public subsidy. So let's take it one step at a time.
Okay. Well, the one thing that is going on or has said to be going on is that you, Governor Baker, and Speaker DeLeo are planning to hire a consultant to vet the Olympic bid and the potential benefits and risks to the state. And you want to get that done before September. Where are we in that process?
The RFP is on the streets. Bids will be due fairly soon. And they're going to have to move fairly quickly. We've used this approach a couple of times in recent years and found very good result that when we bring in people who know the subject matter so that we can get good guidance, we get better results.
Yeah. You know, this question about the Olympic Games really matters a lot to a lot of people. And there's something about the nature of the discussion so far, which I think has troubled a lot of citizens. And Evan Falchuk, who's been spearheading an effort to get a ballot initiative up that would, as we talked about just a second ago, bar public funds from being spent on the Olympics. He's been very critical of the effort so far for what he says specifically is a lack of transparency. So we've got some tape and let's listen.
Given the background of what's happened with this bid, from the secrecy with which it was prepared, the extent to which public input in the process has been minimized, and the really changing story that's been going on for some time now, I think that there are a lot of questions that are still unanswered.
I understand that you and Speaker DeLeo and Governor Baker just met yesterday with Boston.
Yes.
2024.
Yes.
So first of all, are you concerned with this transparency question?
So we want as much information to be available as possible. We also understand that we are in competition with others who are trying to win this bid. And so we don't understand, because we've never bid on an Olympics here in Massachusetts, how you do it without either stubbing your toe along the way or on the other side, not having enough information to be able to make fair judgments. And so they've stepped up their transparency. It's still a moving target. They're still developing new ideas and concepts and organizing materials every single day because it's never been done here before. Mm. So we got to give a certain amount of room for them to get their ducks in order, and understanding that this isn't a slam dunk. It's not a routine matter because it's never been done here before. So we want transparency, but we also want to make sure that we don't tie their hands to the point where they can't compete.
Can you tell us anything specific that they told you yesterday in your meeting with them?
They laid out a series of ideas about how to move this across the Commonwealth. They laid out ideas on the financing that suggests that, in fact, they can do this, and they are demonstrating that they can do this without public subsidy. And they also talked about the evolving issues relating to housing and relating to venues for the various events.
Okay.
So I know that's very general statements, but they gave a lot of detail, but I'm trying to give you a sense of the range of things that they're dealing with all at the same time.
Hmm. Well, let's take a second while we still got you to talk about the state budget, huge, looming, important issue. Just about an hour ago, I understand the House and Senate lawmakers finalized on a compromise regarding a mid-year spending bill.
Supplemental budget, yeah.
That could help close the $750 million budget gap for this year. Are you happy with the supplemental?
Yes. We actually did the bill that closes the FY15 budget gap a few weeks ago. This is the supplemental budget that's necessary to replenish some accounts that are empty or running out, like emergency assistance for the homeless, paying attorneys who provide legal counsel and representation
right.
for the indigent.
And snow and ice removal.
Snow and ice removal. So a series of those things. And there were a couple of policy things that relate to the future of Suffolk Downs and the simulcasting in southeastern Massachusetts. So there were those are very arcane things, kind of boring to the public.
Okay. Well, so let me ask you something a little less arcane and boring, and it actually has to do with something that you said back to Anthony in January when we last talked with you. You said the challenge on the state budget is, quote, can we do the least damage and create the least pain possible, I should say, putting the budget back into balance. So how do you do that?
So that's in reference to going forward now because
right.
we've already put this budget into balance. So we have $1.8 billion structural deficit, and the governor has put forward a series of proposals. All of them are under review. It includes early retirement. It includes doing a requalification of people in the Mass Health program who were put on as a temporary measure until we fixed the connector and came into compliance with the federal ACA Act.
Yeah.
And so there were a series of these moving pieces, and all of that is about sort of putting things into structural balance. It does not invest in the future of the Commonwealth. It doesn't show how we build the economy. It just shows how we get this budget into balance. So we'll look at all of his ideas. We're totally open-minded about how we do this. But when push comes to shove, there's going to be very few new dollars for this fiscal year because, as you pointed out earlier,
the idea of least pain doesn't seem to be a
yes.
possibility. I mean,
although the least pain, yes, no pain, no. There will be pain, and that's because the costs of running the government and maintaining exactly what we're doing now are outstripping the revenue yeah. stream.
Well, Senate President Stan Rosenberg, Democrat of Amherst, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming back to Radio
My
Boston.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, former NPR correspondent turned mystery novelist joins us to talk about her new novel, The Bullet. That's Mary Louise Kelly. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Megan Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.